Church, let us have a heart-to-heart talk this morning. And let me ask you this question. How do you treat sin in your life? How do you treat sin? Do you treat sin seriously? Or do you treat sin lightly? Paano mo ba tinitignan ang kasalanan sa iyong buhay? How do you treat sin in your life? When we sin against God, whether you committed sin against your neighbor, that is still sin against God. It's an offense against the Lord. Do you still feel that deep conviction in your life? Or your heart became callous already? That you no longer feel the heaviness of what you have done against the Lord. No more heaviness against sin, no more conviction. To give you an example, nowadays, when we talk about premarital sex, it's normal for the world, but let me tell you, it's not normal in God's eyes. That's the truth. Even if we are living in a modern world, it's still sin against the Lord. Today, people can lie towards you or towards one another, and still they can look straight in your eyes. Thus, we have so many fake news. But let me tell you, lying is sin. It's the same as premarital sex. Lying is sin. When no one is looking, what are you watching in your internet? You're all alone in your home. What are you watching in your internet? In our office, why is it so easy for us to change numbers in the balance sheet and yet there's no conviction? Church, cheating is sin. Pornography is sin. It's all the same in the eyes of God. So how do you see sin? Do you treat sin lightly or do you treat sin seriously? I hope and pray that after this sermon, we will treat sin seriously. Because let me tell you this, to be intimate with God, you and your sin must separate. Again, let me repeat that. To be intimate with the Lord, you and your sin must separate. To borrow the words of Spurgeon, he said, you and your sins must separate, or you and your God will never come together. You will never be intimate with the Lord if you will keep that sin in your life. We will find this in Joshua chapter 7, verses 1 to 26. But for our scripture reading, let's read verses 11 and 12. May I invite all of you to please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. Let's read Joshua chapter 7, verses 11 and 12. Israel has sinned. They have transgressed my covenant that I commanded them. They have taken some of the devoted things they have stolen and lied and put them among their own belongings. Therefore, the people of Israel cannot stand before their enemies. They turn their backs before their enemies because they have become devoted for destruction. I will be with you no more unless you destroy the devoted things from among you, says the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you, Lord God, that we can open your word. Even though, Lord, it's a hard passage to swallow, but at the end of the day, we must hear this, Lord God. Because as your people, Lord God, as someone who has been saved by the blood of the Lamb, we must hear this and we must take sin seriously in our lives. Yes, Lord God, you can forgive us because that is your promise in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, that if we ask, if we confess our sins to you, you are faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But Lord, that is not an excuse for us to treat sin lightly, but rather your children your children, Lord. We, GCF New Valley, help us to treat sin seriously. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Again, as you all know, we are studying the book of Joshua. And last Sunday in chapter 6, we saw how the Israelites obeyed God. And because they obeyed God, then God granted them victory over Jericho. That is why we say obedience is our responsibility. It's your responsibility. Leave the result to God. The result is God's. It's up to Him to reward us. Okay? But our responsibility is to obey. So how's your obedience? If I may check, di ba meron tayong agreement, may pinagawa tayo? Yung sinulat nating mga names, ginawa ba natin? So how's your obedience? This time around, we're talking about disobedience. Let's see, if we disobey God, what will happen to us? Because chapter 7 is a contrast. Okay? A contrast of chapter 6. Look at the verse 1 of chapter 7. But. It starts with the word but. Okay? This is a direct contrast of what happened in chapter 6. But the people of Israel broke faith, meaning they disobeyed God. They broke faith in regard to devoted things. For Achan, the son of Carmi, son of Zabdi, son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took some of the devoted things and the anger. See that sentence? And the anger of the Lord burned against the people of Israel. So that word, but, it's a contrast. It gives you a contrast from obedience to disobedience. From gladness, because they remember the last verse in chapter 6, it says, and the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was in all the land. So from gladness, now it will become gloomy. It's gloom. It's direct contrast, chapter 6 and chapter 7. Now, what does the word devoted things, because it was mentioned here two times. Remember in chapter 6, verse 18, this is what Yahweh has said to his people. But you keep yourselves from the things devoted to destruction, lest when you have devoted them, you take any of the devoted things and make the camp of Israel a thing for destruction and bring trouble to you. Devoted things here, meaning these are the sacred things of the Canaanites. Remember, we said that chapter 6, it's God's judgment actually with the Canaanites, with the Jericho. Because for so long, for about 430 years, God was waiting for them to repent. But unfortunately for Jericho, it was only Rahab and her family repented. The rest, they did not. Take note, that's the mercy of God. 430 years while his people were enslaved in Egypt, he was waiting for these people to repent, but they did not. Thus, that is God's mercy. Now, here is his righteousness. God's judgment fell upon Jericho using the Israelites. So he wants everything that was sacred for the Canaanites because they were offering it to their gods. He wanted it, all of it to be burned. But unfortunately, one person did not in the camp of Israel. Although God said everything must be burned, but not all the metals, when he said in chapter 6, verse 19, all silver, gold, bronze, and iron are holy to the Lord. They shall go into the treasury of the Lord. So all must be burned except for these metal. All flammables must be burned. But sadly, again, instead of them giving a burnt offering to Yahweh, the anger of Yahweh burned against the Israelites. They broke faith. They disobeyed God. Although the story, if you notice here in verse 1, it says the people of Israel. Although it was also mentioned here, it was actually Achan who disobeyed the Lord. So in other words, the Israelites, they were the collateral damage of what Achan did against God. Now, what theology I would like us to see here, I want us to see how serious it is to commit sin against the Lord. It's a very serious thing. Sadly, when we talk about sin nowadays, it seems very light. Parang wala ka pang ginagawang kasalanan, di ba? Kasi kapag kinorek ka, ano sabi mo? Napaka-judgmental mo naman. Hindi mo pa matanggap. But I want us to see in our text, in our passage this morning, how serious sin is. Yes, we are human beings. That's a given. We have this sinful nature, but that is not an excuse. GCF New Valley, we should be clear on this. Okay? Sin is sin. Our sin, the only difference between a believer and unbeliever is that we are saved by the blood of the Lamb. But at the end of the day, our sin and even the sin of the unbelievers, it's the same in God's eyes. Sin is sin. Church, are we clear on this? Sin is sin, okay? That's why I am emphasizing to you today, you and your sins must separate or you and your God will never be intimate. Let me tell you why. If we do not separate ourselves from sin, if we keep on disobeying God, we will encounter the discipline of God. Let's look at the narrative. From Jericho, they will now move to Ai. They will conquer Ai. Look at verse 2 of chapter 7. Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Beth Aven, east of Bethel, and said to them, "Go up and spy out the land." And the men went up and spied out Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said to him, look at their, what we call self-confidence here. "Do not have all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not make the whole people toil up there, for they are only few." So their confidence are now, were within themselves. It's no longer with Yahweh. Para bang kayang-kaya na natin yan. In other words, yun sinasabi nila, kaya na natin yan, Joshua. Konti lang. Padala natin. So what happened? Look at verse 4. So about 3,000 men went up there from the people of Israel. And look at what happened. Here's the summary of what happened in Ai, that next sentence. And they fled. The people of Israel, the armies of Israelites, they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai killed about 36 of their men. Then they chased them before the gates as far as Shebarim and struck them at the descent. And the hearts, listen to this, church, the hearts of the people, these are the people of Israel, the hearts of the people melted and became as water. These are exactly contrast in chapter 5, verse 1, wherein it says regarding Jericho, their hearts have melted. There was no longer any spirit in them because of the people of Israel. But in chapter 7, it was the Israelites. Their hearts melted before the Canaanites in Ai. And in verse 6, Joshua tore his clothes and fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening, he and the elders of the Israel, and they put dust on their heads. And look at what Joshua said upon knowing that they lost the battle in Ai. Joshua said, "Alas, O Lord God, why have you brought," nasisi pa si Lord, "why have you brought these people over the Jordan at all to give us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? Would that we had been content to dwell beyond the Jordan? O Lord, what can I say when Israel has turned their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear of it and will surround us and cut off our name from the earth. And what will you do for your great name?" This is the typical response of someone who is experiencing disappointment in life. Devastation. Although at this point in time, Joshua, wala pa siyang alam what happened. What he knows is that they lost the battle. But he was really devastated. And that is also what's happening to us, especially when we are receiving discipline from the Lord. Sometimes we even blame God for what is happening to us. But it's our responsibility. Although sometimes even if there's no sin, we still feel disappointed or frustrated. We ask, why, Lord, why? Speaking of disappointment and frustration, I had some experience of it last Friday. As you all know, I'll be graduating this coming May 16, Masters of Divinity, at Grace School of Theology. So they invited me to march in the main campus at Houston, Texas. They gave me the letters, all expense paid. It will not be paid by GCF Nuvali. All expense paid by the school. Everything, airfare, accommodation, meals, everything will be paid. They gave me a letter for it to show it to our consul here, U.S. Embassy. So I applied for a U.S. visa. So when I was there last Friday, they just asked me, what's your purpose? I just told them the truth. I will attend my graduation. Where? Houston, Texas. Then right after that, they just handed me a blue paper. And nakita ko na yun, sa unahan ko, may mga blue paper. And it says there, I was denied because they think that I will not come back in the Philippines. I have no reason to come back in the Philippines. So I was disappointed because they didn't even ask me if I have family here. I have family, so definitely I will come back. And I have a church which I am pastoring, so I will come back. But you cannot argue with them. So it's very disappointed. And even I contacted our friends at Grace School of Theology. They even experienced frustration because for them, they were preparing for me to be there. So I asked the Lord, why? And since I am meditating on this passage, Lord, am I being disciplined? Is there any sin in me right now as to why is this happening to me? Then it even came to my mind, perhaps it's because of my profession, because I wrote there, senior pastor of Green Hills Christian Fellowship or GCF Nuvali. So maybe it's not like having business or having a position again in the marketplace. So I'm looking something to blame. Perhaps, Lord, it's not you, but it's what I do here in the Philippines. Perhaps if I stayed in the marketplace and still I have my position there in the IT industry, maybe they will not allow me to have the visa. So I'm looking something to blame. How much more, church, how much more if we commit sin and we are experiencing the discipline of God, the consequence of our action? Let's have a real talk here, church. When someone is in sin, what do you do? When you commit sin, usually we put the blame on others. Blame game. Hindi naman bago yan eh. Adam and Eve pa lang ganun na eh. Eh, siya kasi eh, Lord eh. Sabi nga natin, huli na, ayaw mo pa rin umamin. We tend to look for others to blame. Even sometimes we blame God. But I want us to understand, here's the thing. If we are being disciplined by the Lord, because every time we sin, definitely we will experience the discipline of God. We will experience the consequence of our action. It's not God's. It's our action. So we will experience the consequence of our sin. Even if we ask for forgiveness, yes, the Lord forgives, but it's our action. So we will experience the consequence of our action. But let me tell you, here's the good thing about the discipline of God. Look at what the author of Hebrews said in the New Living Translation, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 and 6. And have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as his children? Take note, children. He said, my child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline, and don't give up when he corrects you. For the Lord disciplines those he loves. And look at the next sentence. Very strong word. He punishes each one. He accepts us, his child. So you are still his child, no matter what. But you will receive his discipline when you commit sin. So although the scripture is using strong words, correction, punishment, but this is actually for our restoration. God wants us to be restored again in a right fellowship with him. The discipline of God is not for us to move away from God, but it is for us to move closer to him, for us to be on the right track again. And the scripture says, God's discipline is always good. You see that word? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 10 to 11. God's discipline is always good. It's good. It's not bad. It's good for us so that we might share in his holiness. No discipline. Here's the truth. Church, this is the truth. No discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. Nag-enjoy ba kayo kapag nadi-discipline kayo? Wala naman eh. That's why the Bible says, no discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. It's painful. It's painful. But, look at what the Word of God says. But afterward, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained, to those who endured this way, to those who endured God's discipline. That's the result, restoration. So church, when you sin, God will discipline you. We cannot hide from the Lord. We cannot hide from the Lord, just like what happened to them in Ai. Because there's something, they broke faith. So here's the discipline. They lost the battle. So what are we going to do? If you do not want to be disciplined by the Lord, then you must obey. Choose to obey. Because if you disobey, definitely there will be discipline from the Lord. So today we will hear a testimony about obedience and disobedience. Let me call on Sister Gulo to give her testimony.
Good morning, GCF family. I was in the peak of my career, but experiencing severe depression. I got pregnant. I was abandoned and rejected by the man I loved. Because of disobedience, I got involved with a guy who was an unbeliever. Because of disobedience, I defy my parents, my church, my family, my faith, just to follow my stubborn, self-centered will. Because of disobedience, I will have to raise my baby without a father. When I gave birth to my beautiful daughter, I said to God, Lord, forgive me. From this day on, I'm surrendering my life to you. I will obey you and use me for your honor and glory. I obeyed God and started inviting my office mates in Honda and have a Bible study inside my office without realizing that one day I will be an answer to a 7-year prayer and fasting of one of our speakers, Pastor Don Satore. I obeyed God with clear instruction from His word and circumstances. Though in my heart, I do not want to marry a pastor. After 2 years, we got married in February 14, 2009. In December 2011, the Lord asked me to serve Him full-time. I give up my high-paying job. I have fears and doubts in my heart to resign, but we fasted and prayed and also asked a clear word from God. And the Lord told us in Luke 2:29, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. It was January 2 of 2012. I tender my resignation. It was really heartbreaking since I will be giving up a very good position, my 1530 salary, commission, financial and incentive trips, car plan, health card, insurance and all the perks. But deep inside my heart, I know that obeying God is the greatest thing to do. I started to teach children in Paliparan, Dasma Cavite, whose parents are drug users. Started a feeding program. Reached out men in the community through pay-per-view of Manny Pacquiao fight. We opened a training center like TESDA, but with no tuition fee. To reach out the community who are out of school youth, drug users, prostitute, and even hired killer. They will study in 3 months of skills and character formation like massage therapy, electrical, welding, computer literacy, culinary, and so on. Almost 7,000 students studied in that center get to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior because before they graduate, they are required to attend Encounter God retreat They were empowered to bring out the best in them, and they can have a better future since majority are test the NC2 passers after they graduate. Some are already working in hotel, Middle East country, and private companies. This is with the help of 35 committed volunteers who also had the privilege to study and paid forward. They freely share their talent and gift to reach out the community and catch the vision. Every summer, we have performing arts skills for the youth, sports ministry, and helping them develop their God-given gifts, enlightening them to go back to their God-given purpose and assignment, and rescuing them not to be a problem of the society. And for almost 16 years now, Pastor Don and our family made a commitment to God to serve and share the gospel to all Region 4 public schools. We call it School Mission Bible Distribution, that a student will hear the gospel and be able to receive and read the Bible. Just recently, in December, but in Batangas, and January in Baguio. To this date, we shared the gospel to a total of 5 million students. When my mom saw this, she said, "That akala mo ba mabubuhay ka ng katangahan mo at ng kabayanihan mo?" But I just listened and focused on God's promises in Jeremiah 29:11 that says, "For I know the plans I have for you. It is to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you hope and a future." And in Deuteronomy 31:6, "Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." It wasn't an easy journey, since we need to feed 140 volunteers, pay for school rentals, provide for our family needs, transportation, and so on. There are times when my children open a refrigerator and the only thing that they will see is water. They will shout, "I'm hungry, Ma. What are we going to eat? We do not have anything in our ref." But Daddy Don will just tell them, "Praise God, we have bigger space for God to put our food in it." Those were the days that I asked God, "Lord, please don't put us in shame. Please provide for our needs. We are serving a faithful God, and the Lord will bring me to 1 Kings 17:16 that says, "The jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that is spoke by Elijah." Since I resigned, the journey was really a very challenging one. There are times I cry to God, "Please help us, Lord, and please help me to be faithful with you." But God will always prove that He is a miracle-working God and a promise keeper. There are days someone will drop groceries in our house, text me, and will ask me what is my bank account because the Lord told them to bless us. A very close friend gave us a Mazda SUV when I lost my car plan, and the Lord blessed that man with a new CRV after he planted his SUV to us. He provided an OB doctor to give us a free service when I gave birth to Victoria and Joshua, and a dentist who gave their service for free since they know we are missionary. After 5 years of running a free school and giving all our service and walk in obedience with God, the Lord blessed us by opening doors to private Catholic school with almost 3,000 students to handle their retreat, recollection, camp, and character formation. We are doing this for almost 3 years already, and more private schools like International British Academy in Dasma and Bacoor area. He also opened door for corporate, wherein we do a lot of leadership training, team building. Just last year, a total of 220 multinational companies and local government unit partnered with us through team building trainings and seminars. And every after the event, we made sure to give them a Proverbs book, Bibles, gospel tract. Then we close and lead them in prayer to receive Jesus in their hearts, since He is the source of true success. If I may quote in last week's Pastor Irwin preaching, Obedience is our responsibility. Leave the result to God. God works in you. Work out by obeying. God will keep us on the right course when we obey. Brothers and sisters in Christ, one thing I always hold on to keep me going is that God is always reminding me of my purpose and calling. And it is in Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim the liberty of the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. I am Gloria Escobar Satore, a servant of God. And as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. All glory to God.
So we heard the testimony of Sister Glo, and I'm sure you have your own story about obedience and disobedience. I have my own story about obedience and disobedience. But what is important right now is that when we commit sin, church, let us not hide. Let's not sweep it under the rug. Let's not hide our sins. Instead, we must confess our sins to God. We must immediately confess our sins to God, because God knows everything. He knows the sin of Israel. We heard it we read it a while ago in verses 13 and 15 that God knows Israel has sinned. Now look at the continuation of that verse in verse 13. Get up, consecrate the people, and say, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow. For thus says the Lord, God of Israel, there are devoted things in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the devoted things from among you. In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought near by your tribes, and the tribes that the Lord takes by lot shall come near by clans, and the clan that the Lord takes shall come near by households, and the households that the Lord shall take shall come near man by man. And he who is taken, listen to this, church, Joshua 7:15, and he who is taken with the devoted things shall be burned with fire. That is how serious sin is. That is what it says in the book, in the law of Moses. He and all that he has, because he has transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he has done an outrageous thing in Israel. So here in this passage, God will now expose the sin to them who committed the sin, clan by clan, tribe by tribe, household per household, until Joshua can see who among them committed the sin. So beloved, there is nothing that we can hide from the Lord. Nothing. We can hide from men, but we cannot hide from God. Have you ever heard of CCTV? We all know what CCTV is. Nowadays, there's a lot of CCTVs around us. And God did not even need a CCTV, because he can see clearly. HD, high definition, ultra high definition. He can see you clearly. Even if we think that we are alone, you are not alone. Because God can see what you are doing. It is like the man who shot a vendor. If you heard the news, we call it Beef Paris vendor on the street. He shot a vendor at the wee hours. Well, the good thing, he was immediately nabbed because he was seen in the CCTV. And after he got nabbed, his response to this, after he got nabbed, actually he put the blame on the victim. He even have this guts to say, if only he gave me his bag, I will not shoot him. The reason I shot him, because he does not want to give me his bag. And why would the vendor give his bag to him in the first place? And he even said, akala niya yata nagbibiro ako eh. Nababariling ko siya. Grabe. Kita na eh, di ba? Huli na. He even tried to put the blame on the victim. And many of us sometimes are like that man. We were already caught by God, and yet we still try to defend our action. We justify our sins. We try to put blame on others instead of having that responsibility. Yes, Lord, I have sinned against you. So church, when we sin, we must immediately confess our sins to God. And let me share to you how we can confess our sins to God. This is what we call the 7 A's of confession. I got this from a good friend, Dr. Pastor Jason Tan, who also wrote Man Up. He has this book, Man Up. And here are the 7 A's of confession based on Psalm 51. Psalm 51 is a prayer of David when he sinned against the Lord. Remember the story of David and Bathsheba. And here are the 7 A's on how we confess our sins to God. First, attain a broken spirit. David said in Psalm 51, verse 1, "Have mercy on me, O Lord," because God loves those who come to Him with a humble heart. You must humble yourself before the Lord. If you are confessing your sin to Him, then have a broken spirit. Attain a broken spirit. Second, appeal to God's grace and loving kindness. In Psalm 51, verse 1, it says, "Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love, because of your compassion." So appeal to His grace and mercy. Then acknowledge your own filthiness. He said, "Blot out the stains of my sins." My sins. Wash me from my guilt. Purify me from my sins. So we must acknowledge our own filthiness. Accept your own wrongdoing before the Lord. "For I recognize my rebellion, and it haunts me day and night." Admit your own helplessness. "Against you and you alone have I sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. You will prove right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just. For I was born a sinner. Yes, from the moment my mother conceived me. But your desire, honesty from the womb, teaching me wisdom even there. Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow." Admit that you are helpless, because it is only God can wash your sin, can cleanse you from unrighteousness. And ask God to restore you. "Oh, give back my joy again. You have broken me. Now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and make me willing to obey you." So ask the Lord to remove your guilt. Ask for the presence of the Holy Spirit. Ask the Lord to restore your joy, the joy of your salvation, the strength to forgive yourself. Ask the Lord to deliver you from further consequence of your sins. Ask the Lord to restore your witness, your neighborhood, in your office, in your school. And remember, there will be collateral damage when we sin. So add a word of blessing to those who have been affected by your sin. In Psalm 51, David said, "Look with favor on Zion." Remember, he has sinned against the Lord, and yet he was asking, "Lord, would you please look favor on Zion," meaning Jerusalem, "and help her rebuild the walls of Jerusalem." So church, every time we sin, don't cover up your sin. Don't sweep it under the rug. Don't hide, because we cannot hide. We cannot even run. As they say, you can run, but you cannot hide. But with God, we cannot even outrun Him. Don't even try to run. Don't hide. Confess your sins to Him. Remember, church, can we read this together? 1, 2, 3, go. "You and your sins must separate, or you and your God will never come together." After confessing your sins, we must commit to walk on the right path. Because look at the price. Look at the price that Achan and his family, his children, paid because of their sin. Here's the story, starting with verse 16. "So Joshua rose early in the morning and brought Israel near, tribe by tribe. Tribe of Judah was taken, and he brought near the clans of Judah. the clans of Zerahites was taken, and he brought near the clans of Zerahites man by man, and Zabdi was taken, and he brought near his household man by man, and Achan. Here comes Achan. And Achan, the son of Carmi, son of Zabdi, son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. And in verse 19, then Joshua said to Achan, my son, give glory to the Lord of Israel. Give praise to him. Tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me. By the way, the title in your bulletin says, do not fear. It should be, do not hide. Okay. Do not hide it from me. Then verse 20, Achan answered Joshua, truly I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I did. Listen, church, when I saw, that's the first step. That's the usual thing. When we sin against the Lord, we saw. Beautiful. He said, when I saw among the spoil a beautiful cloak. That is his perception of sin. Beautiful. That's why we commit sin, because we thought that sin is beautiful. When I saw among the spoil a beautiful cloak from Shinar and 200 shekels of silver, a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels, then after he saw, he said, then I coveted them. From seeing, now it moves to his heart, then to his action. Then I coveted them and took them. And see, they are hidden in the earth inside my tent, with the silver underneath. Verse 22, Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and behold, it was hidden in his tent with the silver underneath. They took them out of the tent, brought them to Joshua and to all the people of Israel, and they laid them down before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, son of Zerah, the silver, the cloak, the bar of gold, and together with Achan, his sons and daughters, meaning children, his ox, donkey, sheep, his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them up to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, look at the consequence. Joshua said, why did you bring trouble on us? The collateral damage. The Lord brings trouble on you today, Achan. Did you see the next sentence? All Israel stoned him with stones. They burned them with fire and stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones that remains to this day. Then the Lord turned from his burning anger. Therefore, to this day, the name of that place is called Valley of Achor. Again, another passage that we must deal. This is not comfortable. Okay. Notice it says, all Israel stoned him with stones. Okay, that is what was stated in the law of Moses. Those who sinned against the Lord and affected the whole of Israel must be stoned. You can read that, the book of Exodus, Deuteronomy, and even Leviticus. So if someone sinned, that's the consequence. He will be stoned to death. So since Achan committed sin, it affects the whole Israel, so he was stoned to death. Next sentence, look at that. They burned them. Still, okay, most probably the word them, the pronoun them, refers to the things that Achan kept. So it's still okay. Stoned him, okay. Burned them, okay. But look at the next sentence. What does it say? All Israel stoned him with stones. They burned them with fire. So it's could probably referring to the things, but look at the next sentence. And stoned them with stones. Church, they could not stone an inanimate object. Why would they stone an inanimate object? So this pertains to his household, to his children. Because there's no mention of his wife. There was a mention of his children. So this is a very uncomfortable. Lord, why would you allow Achan sinned, yes, but what about his children? So I tried to research about this. I found out in the Bible Knowledge Commentary and even from the book, When Critics Ask, by Norman Geisler. Here's the answer here. Because here in the text, the narrator here did not mention the age of his children. So in other words, all the while they knew what their father did. They were an accomplice to what he has done. In our context today, we call it quote-unquote partners in crime. So they knew because it was hidden in their tent. That is their place. That is where they sleep. So they knew all the while what their father did, and they were part of the, they connive with their father. So the reason why they were stoned to death, it's because of their sin. Because the law says children should not pay for the sins of their parents. But here, it was because of their own sin. It's not because of Achan's sin. But they also sinned against the Lord. That is the answer here. When critics ask you about this. So church, in theology, what is the bigger idea? Because nowadays, we will not stone you. Okay. What I want us to see is how serious sin is in the eyes of God. That is the lesson here, how serious sin is. So choose to obey, confess your sins to Him, and then commit to walk on the right path. Church, Achan and his family were not able to hide their sins, and the same is true for us. We cannot hide our sins from Him. We cannot hide. God is everywhere. He can see us. And even if no one is looking, God can see us. We cannot hide from Him. So remember, church, you and your sins must separate. Or else you and your God will never be intimate. Again, what will be our action steps? Choose to obey God. Second, confess your sins. If you disobeyed Him, confess your sins to Him. And then commit to walk on the right path. Church, I think it's about time for us, GCF Nuvali, to really take a closer look of our life on how we view sin. Do you treat sin lightly or do you treat sin seriously? Just like how God treats sin in our lives. Church, I want to give you an opportunity right now to come clean before the Lord. Come clean before the Lord. This is the time that we must take a closer look at our life. Again, we cannot hide from the Lord. We cannot hide from Him. He knows the details of our life. But here's the good news. Here's the good news. God can forgive us all because of the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is all because of what Christ did on the cross. It's all because of His finished work. That is why when we confess our sins, the Bible says, if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all of your unrighteousness. Why? It is all because of the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the good news. There is forgiveness in the name of Jesus. That's the good news. That is the reason why we must come clean before Him. And I'd like to give you that opportunity for about 2 minutes. Let's just be silent before the Lord and just admit to Him, acknowledge to Him. Because again, you cannot hide from Him. Acknowledge before Him your sins. Our dear Heavenly Father, we ask for your mercy. We ask for your grace. We ask for your forgiveness. Lord, we come boldly to you, all because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. We acknowledge, Lord, that without Jesus, there is no forgiveness. But the truth is, Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins. And in view of what Christ had done on the cross, we are here, Lord God. We come before you. We come before you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and we ask for your forgiveness. Lord, we cannot hide from you. You know everything, Lord God, in our life. You know every detail of our life. You know, Lord God, if there's any sin that is lingering in our hearts right now, if there's any sin, Lord God, that we can let loose, Lord God, we are still embracing this sin in our life. So, Lord, we ask for your forgiveness. Help us, Lord God. Grant us the strength, Lord God, to let go of this sin in our life, that we might walk on the right path that you have established for us. Father, forgive us. Have mercy on us. We acknowledge before you our own filthiness. There's no pretension. There's no justification for our sins. We sin against you, Lord. We sin against you. So we ask for your forgiveness. We do not blame others because it's our responsibility. It's our responsibility to obey you, and yet sometimes, Lord, we do not. So, Lord, forgive us for our sins. Believing, Lord, that there is forgiveness in the name of Jesus Christ. It is all because of Jesus, Lord God. That's why we can receive forgiveness this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. May I ask the ushers, please, for our giving?